Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Palm Sunday. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are so glad that you are here. Ways you can learn more about how we are church together, take a look at that bulletin. There are announcements about worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship today to receive any questions that you might have. A few notes about worship today. We are celebrating the Sacrament of Communion. We have a lot of guests worshiping with us this morning, which is wonderful. Please know that the communion table here at Gates Presbyterian Church is open to all who would like to receive the sacrament. Also today, you'll see in your bulletins, we are receiving our denominational offering, one of the four, the big one really, the one great hour of sharing, and you can learn more about that in that bulletin. We would also invite you for Holy Week services this week, Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, here at 7 p.m. If you're an early riser, 6 a.m. Easter sunrise morning, oh yeah, it's early this year, and we worship together in the Memorial Garden, and our traditional service at 10 a.m. Please join us. Also note that if you are looking for a contemplative time, the Stations of the Cross will be set up at Rock Salt. There's a schedule and address there in your bulletin. A few other announcements as we get going today, Jan.
Good morning. Just a reminder from the property development team that Rob Kane, senior real estate developer with Pathstone, will be here after worship to discuss with us the material that was emailed out to everyone this week. We will have print copies available. This will be an informational gathering only. It's not, no action will be taken today. That will occur 2 weeks from today at a special called meeting of the congregation, at which time we will be voting on whether or not to proceed with a lease agreement with Pathstone. And that meeting will be moderated by our executive presbyter, Amy Fowler. So please stay around for today. Thanks.
Thank you. Al?
Good morning. This coming Saturday, we're going to serve our second St. Joseph's meal of this year. I took a look at the sign-up sheet this morning, and there's quite a few donations for food, but the thing that concerns me is we can make the food and we can get it down there, but if we can't serve it to the people, it's going to be a long meal, and that goulash might get cold by the time they get the last of the things. So if you have an hour or two that you can spare on Saturday, please sign up on the kiosk and help us serve the St. Joseph's meal down at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. One other thing that's changed, I didn't realize when we first made out the bulletin that it was going to be Good Friday, so we moved the time for food preparation from 6:30 to 3:30 so that we can get the food prepped and all done before the Good Friday service. Please give it some consideration about signing up to help on St. Joseph's. Thanks.
Thank you, Al. Now let us join our hearts and voices together in a time of worship. Let us worship God.
Stand as able for the call to worship. The path of forgiveness leads us here.
Standing along the side of the road, celebrating the one who gives us life.
With palms in hand, we raise our hopes and voices.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Even if we were silent, the stones would cry out.
All glory, God, and honor, Hosanna in the highest.
Sounds of the hosannas on our lips, let us also gather our hearts together in a time of confession before our God. Loving God, we pause and reflect on the events of Jesus walking this path into Jerusalem, knowing how the story will end. We grasp our coveted once-a-year palm branches and joyfully praise your name. We confess that we would much rather stay where we are than walk this path with you. In these moments when there are choices to be made, we confess to using the stones to build walls to keep out that which makes us fearful and uncomfortable. We, the builder of these stone walls, have rejected you, the chief cornerstone. Give us the courage to build tables instead of walls, so all may have access to your grace. There is nothing that can silence the good news of the gospel. There is no wall high or thick enough to separate us from the love of God. Jesus walked this path of forgiveness into Jerusalem. He is our salvation. Amen.
So much, junior choir. I'd like to invite the children forward. Bring your fish bakes if you have them. Bring your palms. Come on up front. Today's gospel story, and well, I actually sort of skimmed it over. I didn't have time to read it too carefully. But I know there is something about branches and riding an animal. Guys, come on up front. There's plenty of room. Riding an animal, and people got all excited, right? Did I get it? Is that about it? You think so? Yeah. Well, maybe I missed something in the details here. Why don't we take a moment and talk about what was going on? See, what happened here in Jerusalem was sort of like a big parade. Who here has seen a big parade? Only a couple of you? That doesn't seem right. Have you seen a parade? Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, that makes more sense. You've been in a parade. Yeah. Okay, well, this was a special sort of procession. It was a parade for Jesus. And there were a few elements that are important in this story. For one thing, did Jesus ride through town on a limo or a float? No, he came on a what? A donkey. Yep, this was important partly because it showed that he was coming humbly and in peace. A donkey isn't a big fancy war horse, it's just a work animal. Also, by coming on a donkey, Jesus was doing something that a prophet had predicted long before he was even born. This showed God he was following through on his big plans. Now, while Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, people lined up to welcome him. They put their coats on the ground, sort of like a fancy red carpet, but also to show that the people respected Jesus and considered him their king. They waved palm branches, sort of like you might wave a flag at a big parade. Let's all wave our palm branches. Pretend you can pretend it's like a big flag. The palm branches showed celebration and were also a sign of victory. The people wanted Jesus to bring victory and good things. While they were celebrating, the people lining the path also shouted something. Do you know what it was? Yeah, they hollered Hosanna. Good. Do you know what Hosanna means, though? Anyone? No? It means save us. The people wanted Jesus to save them, and they expected that he would be able to do it. Jesus did come to save, but it was not exactly in the way that folks imagined. The people in Jerusalem thought he was going to be an earthly king and save them from political tyrants who were mistreating them. As we know, this is not exactly what happened. Jesus rode triumphantly into town, but by Friday he was hanging on a cross. He wasn't saving them from political leaders, but he was saving them from something much bigger, and in a way that was much better. It was better than anything anyone could have hoped for. You know, sometimes we want to put our own expectations on Jesus too. Maybe we have an idea of how we think he should answer our prayers or work in our lives. We get confused or upset when God's ways don't look like what we would hope, but we can be sure that God has much bigger plans in mind. He has delivered us and continues to do so. Our job is to continue following and praising him. And in the Bible story, some of the church leaders told Jesus he should quiet down the people and not let them make such a fuss. Jesus said if they didn't call his name, the rocks would cry out instead. So let's be better than rocks. We want to proclaim the amazing works of Jesus and tell everyone how wonderful he is. Let our lives, as well as our words, declare his power. And I want you to say, Hosanna! Hosanna! A little louder, Hosanna! Okay. All right, let's repeat after me for our prayer. Dear God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for your work in our lives, even in unexpected ways. Help us to always praise your holy name. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so you can take your palms with you to go to Sunday school classes. And let's go on to class.
The first reading of the word is from the book of Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open me to the gates of righteousness, that I may enter them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Our second reading of the word for this morning comes from Luke's gospel. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it. Bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, that the Lord needs it." So those who were sent departed and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road, and as he was now approaching the path down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Last year, when Matt and I traveled to Jerusalem, It was suggested to us by several people that we make sure that we get up very early to see one of Christianity's most sacred sites at a rather unusual time. They urged that we visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre as it was being unlocked. For those who don't know, this Crusader-era church is believed by many Christians to be built over the site where Jesus was said to be crucified, buried, and resurrected. For the past 16 centuries, pilgrims have traveled to worship, to pray, and to visit this church that is now home to Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Armenian Apostolic, Syriac Orthodox, Coptic Orthodox, and Ethiopian Orthodox Christian traditions. Now, one might think that these communities live in some sort of sacred harmony, when in fact they are actually very well known for throwing punches at the slightest perceived offense, especially at this time of year. So, given this history, since 1192, the keys to the gates of the church have been entrusted to the families of Muslim gatekeepers. Waji Nusabe and Abdab Jude are the descendants of a long line of Muslim ancestors who rise each day at 4 a.m. with cast iron keys in hand to unlock the wooden doors to the church and the metal gates that are on the courtyard, and then each evening they reverse the ritual. So under the advice from these friends, Matt and I dragged our jet-lagged bodies out of bed and down the streets of the old city, Jerusalem, in the dark. We really had no idea how to even catch a glimpse of this tradition. So here we are, in the dark, peeking through cracks and crevices in gates and stone walls, and we happened to catch just a glimpse as these two men walked out and unlocked the doors. This was a sight to see, but I'll tell you, the real experience came afterwards, when we had the opportunity to enter the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and with only a few monks roaming about, to explore the layered and winding complex of various tombs and relics, chapels and caverns. One of the first things we saw was the large stone that, according to tradition, represents part of the larger stone that was rolled away from Christ's tomb on the day of resurrection. On this stone is an imprint of a hand, believed to be one of the angels who waited in the tomb to announce the resurrection. And we saw in the courtyard of the church this very, very large stone called the Stone of Anointing, or the Stone of Unction, which is said to be where Joseph of Arimathea prepared Jesus' body for burial. Normally, as a pilgrim, you have to even throw a few elbows yourself to get through the crowd, just to get anywhere close to the stone. Pilgrims line up and wait for hours to pour their own oil or rose water on the stone and offer prayers and rub a piece of cloth to transfer and carry that blessing home with them. But one of my favorite parts of the church that Matt and I saw in those pre-dawn hours was down a long, dim hallway and a set of stairs, where on the walls there were thousands upon thousands of these small crosses carved into the stones over centuries, first starting with those medieval pilgrims. See, when you visit the church during daylight hours, the masses of people are so intense that you have to keep moving down the stairs so that you don't get crushed. But that morning, I took time to run my fingers into the grooves of the cross etchings in the stone, and I wondered. I wondered about the people, all the people who made these crosses. The political leaders, the members of religious orders, bishops and priests, alongside common everyday people from every corner of the earth. I wonder what was going on in their world and in their own individual lives when they made this journey. As they carved their cross, what were their longings and their hopes and their prayers? Were they for peace as they came to this holy place? I wondered, what if these stones could shout stories of triumph and tragedy and deliverance, suffering and doubt and faith. While the human voices of those who have journeyed to touch and etch the stones in Jerusalem are silent, the gospel writer this morning says that as Jesus arrived in the holy city, it was such a cosmic event in scale that even the stones could have, in fact, shouted. And I wonder, what would God have had these stones say that day? Can we hear them praising God joyfully with loud voices, mirroring the songs of the crowd? Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Do we hear the stones echoing the voices of the angels who first sang to the shepherds resting on crags and boulders in the fields outside of Bethlehem? Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom God favors, they sang. We can almost feel the echoes of joy erupting from the earth of what God could make possible in the birth and the life, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And one commentator reminds us that if those stones could talk, they could tell a river of tears and blood spilled here and there as a result of any number of brutal campaigns. Those stones could tell of one military leader after another parading into that ancient city, filling people's ears with fear. The singing stone song on the day that Jesus entered the city would sing, not just of joy at the coming of a gracious king, but also for grief and lamentation. What the lectionary fails to include in our reading this morning are the verses just following Jesus' entry into Jerusalem when he weeps over the city. I'm sure those stones would sing and they would reverberate a cry that would rise among any boulevard of broken dreams across the entire planet where God's people have suffered. If we listen, surely when Jesus said that the stones would shout out, he was referring to more than just the stones underfoot. Though perhaps they would have been one and the same, the stones that shout as he carried the cross over them, or the stones that shout when the disciples have grown silent, denying any knowledge of him. Would we have heard the stones offer comfort to Jesus as he lifted his voice in anguish from the cross. Friends, I don't believe it's a coincidence that it is a very large stone that is the only witness and willing participant in the resurrection on Easter morning. This morning, I know you've had those palms in your hands, but I can't help think that it would be more biblically accurate to read from Luke's gospel on Palm Sunday and to still have our stones in hand from our Lenten series on the path of forgiveness. For many of us, all through Lent, those stones rolled around in the bottom of our purses or in our car or were displayed in some prominent place, serving as a reminder of the way in which our own lives shout out for peace, for forgiveness. But 2 weeks ago, in the cold, wind, and snow, we placed our stones together just outside here to build a forgiveness garden. And there it is, a reminder that together the stones will continue to shout out the story of God's love and forgiveness in our lives and our world. These are the small reminders that we all need of our faith, that sometimes get lost or unnoticed in the busyness of life, the ones that take a little extra effort, like getting up very early in the morning, to attend to, the reminders of hope, of dreams, of joy, of suffering, reminders that our prayers for peace are always heard. For even the stones will shout out the stories of redemption, now and always. Amen. friends, come to the table. Bring your shouts of Hosanna, bring your palms, bring your hopes of a victorious king to overcome the oppression and sorrow of the world. Bring your cries of crucify him, bring your denial and your wandering. Bring your hopes dashed by one who was crucified because he would not validate the power of this world. For just as Jesus gathered with his disciples here on the night before his execution, just as he met his disciples in the breaking of the bread on that first resurrection evening, so too we gather at this table bringing our best and our worst to this place where we will be made whole as we meet Jesus again. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Right.
Morning by morning, creation's voices join in praising you, God of every goodness. The forests form a procession. The heavens reflect your glory's light. Though we were formed by you, we looked around at everything sin and death had to offer and followed them through the world, thinking they could protect us. You gave prophets the tongues of teachers to comfort our weariness and teach us the way back to you, but we turned our back on them. When judgment did not lead to redemption, you sent Jesus to reach out in love to bring us home to you. So with those who spread cloaks before you and those who are sustained by your love, we join our voices singing.
Are you, sustainer of the weary, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your love become human. He emptied himself of glory to be filled with our broken hopes and hearts. He chose the path of suffering love so that we could run through the streets of the kingdom waving branches of joy. He walked in the sin-cold stones into the tomb which could not hold him, so we could join our voices together. Hosanna, Hosanna, he is risen. As we journey through Jerusalem and beyond, as we struggle with death, loss, and grief, we would ponder that mystery we call faith.
Table, graced with creation's gift, we discover the world you intend. Here, where your love enlivens the bread and cup, we are given more than enough of everything we need. Sharing deeply in the Spirit, we can give hope its wings as it carries us to serve the broken all around us. Strengthened by the grace with which you feed us, we can join together to sustain the weary of the world. And when the gates of joy have been opened to us, we will spend moment by moment every knee in creation bending, singing our praises to you, God in community, holy in one. That Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people, like each and every one of us, and makes us holy. He asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread and he poured it. So that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of me." So we break the bread and we drink from this cup, giving thanks for the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, for faith to hope anew. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together.
said, "I am bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never thirst. Taste the goodness of God's grace."
Jesus said, "I am the vine, and that you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Friends, taste the goodness of God's grace.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace, faithfulness, and your wondrous love you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be the bearers of grace whenever we may journey and with whom we may meet. We offer these prayers and say together the prayer Jesus taught us to say together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Let us pray. God, whose giving knows no ending, we know how to say thank you when we receive. Right now, we say thank you as we give. In our giving, hear our heartfelt gratitude for all that you are and all that we have. Bless these gifts for your mission in the world, and bless the other gifts that we have to bring to your mission, opening our eyes to hear how you are calling us to participate. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
We go from this joyful time of worship with hosannas on our lips and in our hearts, knowing where this week will take us. And we go assured that the grace and love of God will never leave us. For in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are promised grace and forgiveness. And with the courage that comes from the Holy Spirit, we go. We go to walk with Christ this day and always. Amen.